Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Let's face the facts. Everyone wants to feel valued, especially your employees. In fact, a 2023 study found 78% of business owners say benefits and retirement plans improve employee retention. Employees want to feel secure in their jobs and their finances. At Principal, we help you invest in your people, because investing in your people is investing in your business. Learn more at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio, hanging out with you on a Tuesday night, a Halloween night. A lot of tricks outside, a lot of treats, a lot of trades, a lot of all types of things. Right now, it's a horror show in Arizona. At least the Diamondbacks have been able to put up some runs. The Texas Rangers, in the top of the ninth, they lead Arizona 11-5. If Texas holds on, which it looks like they will, they're going to go up 3-1 here in the World Series. We'll keep you up to date on that game as it continues on. Meanwhile, in Phoenix, Arizona, Victor Wembanyama versus Kevin Durant. Phoenix is currently leading 54-43. We'll keep you up to date on that game. NFL trade deadline. It has come, it is gone. Chase Young is a member of the 49ers. Montez Sweat is a member of the Bears, as the Washington Commanders and Joshua Harris say, hey, it's time to start over. I expect more changes as we continue on here going into the offseason. Maybe, I think a whole big maybe, Ron Rivera will be on his way out of the door. Later on in the show, we've already discussed this a little bit. We'll talk about James Harden and his move out to Los Angeles from a James Harris or Josh Harris-owned team. The 76ers, James Harden, now a member of the Los Angeles Clippers, waiting on that trade to be official. And then also, and we're going to talk about this momentarily with Brandon Marcello from 24/7 Sports, this evening we have the first release of the college football playoff rankings. Ohio State coming out at number 1, Georgia 2, Michigan 3, and the Seminoles at number 4. We're going to go ahead and talk about these rankings momentarily. Shout outs to everybody tuned in all over North America, 300 markets, 300 cities locked in. Thank you so much to everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, SiriusXM channel 158, and everybody tuned in on a smart speaker. If you want to holler at me, it's real simple. It's 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. I'm also online everywhere. That is at JR Sport Brief. So we'll give you an update on the World Series. We're going to get back to the NFL trade deadline. We'll talk about James Harden, but I just mentioned his name, and here he is with us on the line right now to talk about the release of the college football playoff rankings. It is my main man holding it down, Brandon Marcello from 24/7 Sports. Hey, Brandon, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Got some trick-or-treating in with the kid, and now relaxing, trying to make sure I don't eat all the candy.
Well, is it better for you to eat the candy or the kids to eat the candy?
Well, you know what's funny? My kid doesn't like candy. Like, he just won't eat it. The only thing I'll eat is M&M's. So I got this whole big bag full of anything I want, and I'm having to resist it.
Listen, man, you hit the jackpot. I mean, if your kid and family, they don't want candy, then that's good for them. Might be bad for you, but it's good for them, man. Well, let's talk about some of these college football teams. Some fan bases obviously upset. To be expected. I don't think anybody is shocked or surprised with these rankings. Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State rounding out your top four. And then we got some Pac-12 teams there. Washington at 5, Oregon at 6, Texas at 7, Alabama 8, and then Oklahoma 9, Ole Miss at 10. What were some of your first thoughts upon seeing these rankings?
That I wasn't surprised. You know, the playoff committee, you know, early on, people tend to get upset because it's always a little bit different than the AP or coaches poll. That's always because they deal kind of in these hard numbers, strength of schedule, all this stuff, head-to-head. You know, they don't really put their guts into the thinking process here. And it comes through in their voting. You know, if you go back through history here, yeah, I kind of wonder why we even have a playoff committee, why they pay all this money to fly all these guys in to North Texas every week and have them sit around and discuss this for hours and hours. Because the BCS computers, the top four would have been the top four, the same top four, in every single year in the playoff committee has been put together. So why do we put people in a room when we still get the same four teams? That's my question. So it's the build-up drama, I think. And then especially here early on when entering the final month of the season, people see Ohio State at number one. And, you know, obviously they're not number one in the human polls, but they're number one in the committee. And that's because they weigh these metrics heavily. And right now, they've got two top 15 wins against Penn State and Notre Dame. And that's better than what Georgia and Michigan have right now, and also Florida State. So as much as we say this is a human factor being in the playoff committee's rankings, it's not. They might as well just be, you know, 12 computers sitting around the desk coming up with these rankings.
Brandon Marcello is joining us here at the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to get back to you on the current system because I find it to be the same when you look at some of the imagery. Got 25 folks sitting in a giant conference room, long tables to go ahead and make these decisions. When we get to the final iteration in about more than a month from now, do you see any of these teams? What team has the best chance of falling out? And what team has the best chance of moving up into that top four?
Yeah, to me, the best team to potentially move up in that top four is Oregon, which is at number six right now. I think they're the better team than Washington right now, which is at number five. Washington owns the head-to-head right now. When that game was played at Washington a couple weeks ago in an absolute thriller and a classic, Oregon was on the cusp of potentially winning that. If they played that game again, I think Oregon wins. If they play it again on a neutral site, I think Oregon wins. And guess what? We might very well get that in the Pac-12 championship game in early December. And if Oregon can do that and obviously win out, I think the Ducks will make it into the playoffs. Because as of right now, the Big 12 kind of played itself out of it. And then, of course, Ohio State and Michigan, who are in the top four right now, they play each other later, of course, yeah. And one of them will not be in the playoffs. So, to me, Oregon has the best shot to jump in. The team that has maybe the best shot of actually dropping out, I actually think it's the number one team right now, and that's Ohio State. I'm still not sold on them as being a complete team. The schedule, of course, has been pretty good. That's why they're number one right now. But, man, Michigan is just deeper top to bottom, and, of course, as we know, they've had their number the last 2 years. Not just had their number, but just absolutely obliterating Ohio State on the line of scrimmage.
Brandon Marcello is joining us here from 24/7 Sports to talk about the college football playoff rankings. You know, we don't see the traditional Alabama sitting here at the top. We heard Steve Sarkisian go ahead and try to make his case less than 24 hours ago, a couple of days ago, about how, hey, we went in there and we beat Alabama. And we see Texas currently ahead of Alabama and Oklahoma. Oklahoma after Kansas, after that defeat, not looking the best and the brightest. What are your thoughts on kind of that next group there? You know, there's not big bad Alabama, and I found it interesting that Sark was trying to make his point and case to move up higher in the playoff based on that win.
I think it's smart on his part. He's not going to get his wish, but it's smart on his part because he knows Alabama's probably going to make their SEC championship game once again. And potentially here, if Alabama were to sprout that upset against Georgia in the SEC championship game, then Alabama would be in the playoff. And Texas might be out, even though Texas would own that head-to-head. Even if Texas were to win out. Now, course, a lot of stuff's going to happen in front of them and behind them and all that. But if you look at it, Texas technically right now has the second best win in all of college football so far this season by beating Alabama on the road. Washington has the best by beating Oregon, even though that game was at Washington. So there are arguments to be had for Texas. But the problem is that they got that loss on their schedule, which he could argue that it's the best loss of anybody in the top 10 right now, having lost to number 9 Oklahoma. So, you know, it is what it is. Listen, any of these teams in the top, I would say 8, maybe top 9, have a shot at reaching the playoffs still. I have a harder time believing with Oklahoma right now because of the schedule, but we'll see. But, you know, Bama, if they went out and beat Georgia, they're in. Texas, I think the Big 12 overall just is going to have a very difficult time ahead of them. They might very well be that Power 5 conference like the Pac-12 has been the last 6-7 years that gets left out.
Well, Brandon, we know, and before we know it, we're going to see both Texas and Oklahoma competing in the SEC. And people have talked about how large of an adjustment it's going to be. Based on what we've seen with that surprise victory, Texas knocking off Alabama, do you think that's been exaggerated?
Maybe a little bit. You know, it's interesting. 2 years ago, I thought Oklahoma was better built for the SEC schedule because of the trenches. And that's actually kind of flipped a little bit here just in the last calendar year. Texas has really done a very good job recruiting and preparing for the SEC type of play in the trenches, especially on the defensive line, which doesn't get enough love right now, I think, for Texas. And I think the Longhorns are prepared for it right now. I know OU's got that head-to-head right now this season, but I think it's going to prove forward going into next year, that very first year, that Texas is the more well-prepared team to go week by week by week in the SEC.
Brandon Marcellos here with us, 24/7 Sports. When it's all said and done, when we have the final four teams, it sounded like you think Ohio State is going to fall out. What is your final four? Who do you think is ultimately going to make it in when the humans finish playing with the computers?
Well, yeah, exactly. To me, I think Michigan is the best team in the country right now. They're the deepest and best. It's just that their schedule hasn't been worth a darn, but it will be near the end because of the schedule improving with Ohio State coming up. But I think it'll be Michigan. I think it'll be the SEC champion, which I believe will be Georgia. And I think it'll be Florida State. But you always keep waiting for them to stumble. But I think Florida State's going to navigate the schedule. And I think it'll be Oregon. I think Oregon's going to emerge out of the Pac-12 in that rematch against Washington and what may very well be the second best game of the year after their first matchup. Those are two really well-matched teams. And, man, I think Bo Nix is on the cusp of doing something very, very special there at Oregon this season.
Hey, it's going to be fun to see them continue to play out. As we start to wrap up, I do have to ask you about a dude and a team and a program that is not participating in the college football playoff at all this year, not even sniffing it. And that's Mr. Dabo Swinney. We heard his rant last night, kind of went off the deep end, being accused of not performing based on what his salary is. And he seemed to lose it against the fan, which is like, you know, getting paid all that money and being criticized is part of it. What do you think the issue has been overall with the program? And do you see Clemson turning things around into the future without bringing in just an amazing recruiting class?
You know, what's crazy is I think the last 2 years we've all seen this potentially coming because Dabo Swinney has been so slow. In fact, it's just completely been against overcoming some of these challenges. When I talk about challenges, the advent of NIL and, of course, the creation of the transfer portal. He's really only gone out and gotten 2 transfers out of the portal in this entire time, and they amount to 2 walk-on quarterbacks, including a quarterback who was at Clemson, transferred to Northwestern, and then transferred back to Clemson. He has not been able to, I guess for whatever reason, adjust like everybody else has around him. And if he did that, he could have fixed his issues at receiver. That's his big issue right now. Could have fixed some of the issues on the offensive line. But his big issue is that receiver, and it has been the last 2 or 3 years. It hasn't been quarterback, hasn't been DJ Uiagalelei, hasn't been Kay Klubnik. It's the lack of a game-breaking receiver, which they've been so accustomed to seeing over the last decade, Barry Clemson. And he could have fixed that easily by going through the transfer portal. Look at Florida State right now, which is on the cusp of winning the ACC. They went out and hit the transfer portal to supplement their roster, and they got arguably the best receiver in college football this season, and Keon Coleman, who came from Michigan State, entered the portal this offseason. You mean to tell me if Clemson went after him that he would not have been interested in Clemson? I think he would have. And Clemson, for their part, shot themselves in the foot. They had an opportunity to improve their roster these last 2 to 3 years, and they have literally sat there and done nothing. And now it's starting to bubble up to the surface. And, you know, I think Dabo's a little thin-skinned. I'm sure if you put some truth serum in him, he'd say, man, I messed up these last 2 years. And I'm really taking a licking now. And he's biting back at people. He's like a hurt dog. But I'll tell you what, this offseason, he better hit that transfer portal. He better decide to get with the times.
Do you think, especially being at the beginning really now of his 10-year contract, the way he spoke, at least publicly, against that fan, is he going to see this through, or is he going to kind of ruffle some feathers and maybe get booted in a season or two? And I know it's a lot of money, but do you think he's going to see out this whole contract as coach, or is this just a small bump in the road?
I don't know if he's seen the entire contract through, but I do think he'd see the next few years through. I don't think that, barring something crazy happening, that they would try to fire him. Because, one, listen, I know they're all singing harmony in the ACC right now as they expand, but listen, Clemson and Florida State, for that matter, they still want out of the ACC. And if they find a way out that is financially possible for them, I think they would still jump at that. And they can't really afford to go, let's go fire Dabo Swinney, who's won a couple of national championships, just because maybe we've had 2 or 3 bad years under him. They're kind of in it for the semi-long haul with them. Maybe not be able to extend that contract, but for a little bit. They're at an inflection point as a program, as an athletics department in the ACC. And then also, goodness gracious, I would think that the administration there would start putting his feet to the fire a little bit, going, hey, we've built all these new facilities for you. We've done everything for you. We've supported you. But you got to get with the times. You've got to hit the transfer portal. You got to start listening to us a little bit. Otherwise, it would become an absolute drama show, a stage play there. And we'll see. And this is the most important offseason of Dabo Swinney's life coming up.
Yep, I'm certainly here for the drama show, and I want to thank Dabo Swinney for losing his mind, although I still think he needs to just give a full apology. Hey, Brandon, I want to appreciate you for coming through. Where can people follow you and all of your work with 24/7 Sports?
Yeah, I'm at D. Marcello on Twitter and X, and then find me at Brandon Marcello on all of the socials. And, of course, go to 247sports.com for full college football coverage.
All right. Thank you so much to Brandon Marcello for joining us here, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I agree with Brandon. One of the first scenes as ESPN started to preview the college football playoff reveal and the first iteration and what are the top teams here in the 25, and it was all drama packed. And the drama was literally a bunch of middle-aged dudes sitting around in suits and ties like they were, you know, just handing out Halloween candy. Like, we need to have these 25 guys sit down. And yes, it's all part of a production and building up the drama. And the other element is you want to have some of the fan bases upset. You want to have fans angry and upset and people at the schools and people sitting around at bars. You want people talking about the debate just like we have now, which is why we don't have it just in a computerized system like we had in the BCS. It makes a whole lot more sense to have people arguing and fighting and this team should be in and how is this team not here. And it's all for drama. It's all for entertainment. Even though it makes absolutely no sense and is a waste of money, it's not like college football is hurting in any sense or regard there. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. On the other side of the break, we just did talk about Dabo Swinney. Yeah, that contract, that man is not getting the boot to go anywhere anytime soon. I'm going to give you an update. Did he say sorry? Did Dabo do anything? Did he double down? I'm going to tell you on the other side of the break, and then I'll give you an update on the World Series, which is still a beatdown. Let's see if Texas can go up 3-1. I'll fill you in on the other side. Thank you again to Brandon Marcello from 24/7 Sports. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
What you have, you can't even put a price on it, is you have a platform, and you always handle your platform with responsibility. And for that, I look up to you, and I respect you, and I appreciate you.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. The Texas Rangers, it's a final tonight. In Game 4 of the World Series, the Texas Rangers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks seconds ago. The final score, 11-7. Texas has now taken a 3-1 series lead. The Texas Rangers have an opportunity to close out the World Series tomorrow, Wednesday night, in Arizona, and walk away with their first World Series championship. This was abuse. And credit to the Arizona Diamondbacks, even in what was a 10-0 deficit, they were still able to chop away late in the game. But this was pretty much over from the get-go. In both the second and the third innings, the Texas Rangers decided to drop 5 runs apiece. It's the first team in World Series history to score 5-plus runs in consecutive innings. A matter of fact, to start the scoring off in the second, the Texas Rangers hit for the cycle in that second inning. The last time that we saw this was the Braves. They last did this in 1991. And so this was a tough watch, and congratulations to any of the Diamondback fans who sat through this mess. This was more than a mess. This was a horrific beatdown. The Diamondbacks didn't come through and really get anywhere, if you want to consider it close, until the bottom of the eighth, where they were able to go ahead and push the score to 11-5 after Gurriel Jr. Home run. And then in the bottom of the ninth, they were able to tack on 2 more runs, making it 11-7, and that is your final score. It looks like the Rangers, even with Adolis Garcia out for the rest of the World Series, man, the Rangers needed to make a statement, and they sure as hell went ahead and did that. You know what? I do want you to hear this run that pretty much got everything going. It's Corey Seager. This man hit a home run in the second inning to push the score early to 5-0. Take a listen to this.
So lefty-on-lefty matchup here. Seager flying out to deep left center his first time, and he drives this one deep out into right center field, sailing out of here! Corey Seager with yet another home run. His third here in the World Series, his sixth this postseason. Texas 5, Arizona nothing.
Yeah, courtesy of the Rangers Radio Network, I know Adolis Garcia, he might be out right now. And if you do want to hand an MVP over to someone, you know, all things considered, if Texas holds on and wins the World Series, you might want to go ahead and give that trophy to Corey Seager. That sounds like a safe bet. 855-212-4CBS. Anthony is here from Birmingham. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, JR. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. What's on your mind, please?
Hey, so originally I'm from the Dallas market. I went through the heartache of 2010 and 2011, was there for the David Freeze game, and I think this immaculate run the Rangers are going on is amazing. And for Marcus Semien, who's been struggling this whole playoff, step up with Adolis Garcia out, it's just been fun to watch. Just kind of want to get your thoughts, what you think the rest of the series would be like.
What do I – oh, man, let me – well, this is an easy one, Anthony. When you're up 3-1, what do I think the rest of the World Series is going to look like? Maybe the Diamondbacks are able to snatch one more tomorrow, or maybe they're just cooked. We knew that tonight was going to be a difficult game, especially both of these squads having to patch things together on a bullpen game, especially for the Texas Rangers with Max Scherzer going out. And then them having to dip into the bullpen yesterday and Gray having to come on. You knew this was going to be a bullpen game. And Texas had to really go forward and make a move. And they did. Garcia done straining his oblique. Max Scherzer done. Done because he's old and he's been done for years. And so the Texas Rangers, they do what needed to be done. I mean, you can't go into a baseball game and expect to win, I don't know, 11-7. You don't go into a baseball game with an expectation that you're going to go up, you know, 10 runs to nothing or 10 runs to one. You don't imagine that. That's abuse. That's bludgeoning another team. You just hope that it actually happens. And that's what it did tonight for the Texas Rangers. 11-7. They are one victory away from hoisting their first World Series championship. The Texas Rangers have been around since 1961. The fans have waited long enough. Let's see if they can get the job done. Or the last time that we saw the Arizona Diamondbacks in the World Series, they had a little bit of magic up their sleeve against the New York Yankees. And then tonight, I mean, their fan base certainly hoped that they had some type of magic, but they didn't have it. Let's see what they do tomorrow night. The Texas Rangers have an opportunity to close things out. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, we're going to hear from some of the athletes that are participating in this World Series. Corey Seager just spoke with Ken Rosenthal. We'll hear from him. We're going to talk about more of the plays. The voice of God, Bruce Bochy, I'm sure that he will go ahead and speak to the media. And the Arizona Diamondbacks, they lick their wounds and try to stay alive tomorrow night. We're going to get into more of the NFL trade deadline. We'll talk more about the college football playoff. We'll get into the World Series on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
I've been listening to you maybe 10, 11 months, and I always appreciate you being poignant, intelligent, and exacting when you have to be.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We talked about it right before we went to the break. Peter Schwartz also gave you an update. The Texas Rangers knock off the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. The final score, 11-7. At one point in the third inning, the Texas Rangers led this game 10-0. And with this win tonight, the Texas Rangers, they are one win away from winning their first World Series championship. That will be tomorrow night, where they'll have an opportunity to go out there and close them out in Game 5. This was a wild one, as I just told you, 10-0 after the third. And the Texas Rangers, in picking up this victory, they have won 10 straight road games. That is the longest streak in Major League Baseball playoff history. The Rangers have won 10 straight road games. They're also the first team in World Series history to score 5+ runs in consecutive innings. And you know what? Let's go ahead and listen to some of the ass whooping. Let me remind you too, in the second inning, the Texas Rangers, the team collectively hit for the cycle. So whatever type of hit that you wanted in the second, the Texas Rangers, they came through and they gave it to you. The first score of the game came via a wild pitch. But then Marcus Semien, he decided to hit a triple, scoring two. Let's take a listen to this call, and all of this audio is courtesy of the Rangers Radio Network.
The 1-2 pitch, swing and a line drive toward the left field corner. That is a fair ball just inside the line, all the way into the corner. Tavares scores. Jankowski speeding around third. Marcus is headed to third. Here's the throw. He slides. He's safe at third. Two-run triple. Marcus Semien. Rangers lead it 3-0.
3-0 in the second. Corey Seager has been like a man on fire. He steps up, and he hits a two-run bomb. Still in the second, it puts them ahead 5-0.
It's a lefty-on-lefty matchup here. Seager flying out to deep left center his first time, and he drives this one deep out into right center field, sailing out of here. Corey Seager with yet another home run. His third here in the World Series, his sixth this postseason. Texas 5, Arizona nothing.
Okay, now let's get the hell out of the second inning. Let's fast forward, not too far, but to the third inning. Jankowski, he decided to hit a two-run double to extend the lead to 7-0.
Swing and a drive into center field. Base hit for Jankowski, and a sliding stop by Thomas of sorts. In to score is Young and Lowe. Heim goes to third. Jankowski's at second with a two-run double, and the Rangers lead 7-0.
Well, Shep, there's a little bit of excitement, right? He's excited now.
Well, that's the other guy.
Oh, who am I mixing up?
Every team has two broadcasters. At least most teams have two broadcasters.
Wait a damn minute. Wait a minute. One guy has life and the other guy is like a wet paper towel?
You said it, you couldn't say it any better, JR.
How does the enthusiasm and the excitement of beating up on a team in the World Series not extend to the other guy?
That's a great question.
You know what? Let's forget that wet paper towel, man. Let's listen to Marcus Semien extending the lead to 10-0. In the third.
And here's a drive high into the air, deep into left field. Gurriel going back to the wall. He leaps, and it is gone. A home run for Marcus Semien. It's a three-run shot, and the Rangers are in double figures at 10-0.
Okay. Now let's keep this in mind. Texas won the game 11-7. I want to go back. You heard the excitement of that home run. Shep, you mean to tell me, when we listen to the home run in the second inning, the guy, it's a different guy?
No, the guy is the same in the second and third. It's a different guy in the ninth. I don't know why baseball does this, but it is a different announcer based on the inning, and there's no rhyme or reason to it, JR. Like, it used to be they used to alternate.
This is stupid. Well, let's listen to the final call. Is this guy going to fall asleep? He's sleeping, right?
This is as boring as a wet paper towel, to quote you accurately, JR, and that's what this sounds like.
Let's listen to the final call here.
A long hold, and here's the pitch. Swung on and popped up, first base side. Nate Lowe near the Ranger dugout says he has it. He does! The ball game's over. The Rangers lead the World Series 3-1.
A little bit more excitement. Just a little bit. Yeah, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Why the hell you want to pay, what is that, three people on the radio broadcast?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you, I think I would speak for any person in radio who doesn't know this. I don't know if there's an analyst. I know, obviously, every single regional network, every single syndication has an analyst on TV. I don't know if that's the case for radio, at least in baseball. In basketball, that's I know for a fact basketball, they always have a radio analyst and the play-by-play guy.
If you're going to have three folks sitting there giving play-by-play for what? Like, do play-by-play and put somebody who actually knows the game there. I don't know.
Right. Well, you were talking about Kevin O'Connell and the acquisition of Josh Dobbs and how that's about as exciting as, you know, him getting a ham sandwich. I think he sounds more exciting to get Dobbs than Eric Nadal does as a broadcaster when they go up 3-1 in the World Series.
I don't know. Maybe this is something that he's called in his dreams for years. So maybe he can't do it in real life. Anyway, this man isn't just excited. He's determined. Because he's actually playing the game. It's Corey Seager. Corey Seager spoke to Fox. He was with Ken Rosenthal after the victory. Yeah, now he's one victory away from a championship.
Corey, you guys suffered a tough blow today, losing Adolis Garcia. What was the mindset of the team coming into tonight's game?
You know, we miss him. He's been a big part of what we do. We're trying to go out there and win this one for him. So we're just hoping he gets better this offseason, but we're going to continue to keep going forward.
What was said at the hitters' meeting?
He spoke, actually. You know, that took a lot of guts out of him to come out there and speak. You know, we know how he feels. He wants to be out there with us, and it really fired the guys up.
Home run and the double tonight. You looked like you were uncomfortable on the home run coming around the bases. What happened there?
No, I was fine. You know, we got a good win. You know, Heaney, with what he did, that performance to come out here and really shut them down, you know, it was a great team win.
Corey, you're one win away from your second World Series title. What would this one mean to you, considering all that this team has overcome?
Yeah, you know, it'd be awesome. You know, anytime you can put yourself in this position, it's where you want to be. So this team, this organization, would be a big one for us.
Yeah, this is a big move for the Texas Rangers to have his acquisition kind of bear fruit. Let's keep in mind, Corey Seager, yes, he won that 2020 championship in the I don't want to call it the bubble, but he won it in that pandemic year with the Dodgers. And then in 2021, the Texas Rangers said, hey, here's $325 million over the next 10 years. And if you think about what he's been able to do in the postseason, even Fox decided to take the approach of comparing him to Reggie Jackson. Through 77 games, Corey Seager has 19 home runs, Reggie Jackson 18. They have the same amount of RBIs at 48. Now, everybody's waiting to see if Corey Seager can just pick up another World Series championship. But hell, man, I know Adolis Garcia, we won't see him the rest of the postseason. Corey Seager certainly doing his part to carry them through into another championship. One more game, and the Texas Rangers can have their first championship in franchise history. That game will be tomorrow. And moving forward, up on the mound, Nathan Eovaldi, he got smacked around that first go-round. So he'll have an opportunity to go out and redeem himself. Meanwhile, for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Zach Gallen will be on the mound, and he will try to extend their season by, at minimum, one more game. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Don is here from Birmingham. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Listen, what you do on that announcement baseball game and stuff, the same thing you do in football. You have your main announcer, and then you have the guy with him that supplies the what they call the color. So in baseball, it's traditionally they kind of swap off for the fifth and sixth inning, and then you give the other guy a break. But the same thing in football. You have your announcer, and you have a guy that's with him. He's supposed to add color, you know, insights, little known facts, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I think the difference, and thank you, Don, for calling from Birmingham. Baseball has a different pace. It goes by innings. Now, let me be clear here. For a guy who talks 4 hours a night and talks and talks and talks, to sit down and call a game, of which I've also done, not at a professional level. It's not an aspiration. You do it, man. Just sit down and do it. Ain't nobody need no damn break.
JR.
That's why they got timeouts. Come on, we don't need no breaks. Like, stop it. For what? Yes, and there's a – hold on, Shep. There's a difference between a football game and a baseball game. If you find a baseball game and a guy needs a break from talking, he's doing too much because there ain't enough action, man. Like, stop it. Vince Scully ain't sit down and he needed a break. What happened, Shep?
You took the words right out of my mouth. Your favorite broadcaster, my favorite broadcaster, did it for about 70 years.
And was the best.
Yes, and never.
And did television, right. Did television and radio.
And JR never did it with another person. Now, there were television broadcasts that he partnered up with somebody, of course, but mainly when he did Dodgers baseball games, he never had a partner.
And
he
it wasn't
never
until,
took a break.
It wasn't until he was old where they started to siphon off to quote-unquote give him a break. Like, I don't know. Look, everybody can have their opinion. But the idea of we need to have two people here and swap out here for a baseball broadcast is stupid. Have a consistent voice. Let them work. Let the audience become familiar. You know what? I'm going to take a break. Okay? When I come back, Shep, me and you going to alternate breaks the rest of the show. Make sense?
I don't think the majority of the audience would want that, JR.
Yeah.
But I get where you're coming from, though.
No, it doesn't. It makes no sense. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Trust me, I'm going to take a break, and I'll be back on the other side with Shep. And we're going to continue to talk about the World Series, the Texas Rangers after their victory tonight, beating down the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Rangers, one more victory, makes them World Series champions. The NFL trade deadline came and went. The college football playoff rankings, they were revealed this evening or this afternoon. And then, yes, James Harden. Not too long after we got off the air last night, James Harden traded to the Clippers. So we got a lot to do, a lot to discuss. If you want to holler at me, it's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Trust and believe this. We're going to hear from some of the coaches, too. Yeah, World Series almost done. Enjoy it. We only may have one more game of baseball. Enjoy me. I'll be back on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus, just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and BlueLink Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey everyone, you've probably heard us talking about Magnificent Jerk. It's a story about discovering family secrets buried in a low-budget 90s thriller starring Rob Lowe and Ice-T. Magnificent Jerk takes you on a journey through Chinatown gangs, drug robberies, Hollywood reinvention, and a family confronting its unspoken past. It's the true story about a fake story about a real life. Magnificent Jerk is an Apple Original podcast produced by Pineapple Street Studios. All episodes are available now. Follow and listen on Apple Podcasts. This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.